Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace and mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you for breakthroughs you have done in our lives. Thank you for mighty miracles we have seen in our situations. Thank you for making all things work together for our good. Thank you, Lord, for turning our darkness into light. Thank you for turning our shame into glory and honor. Thank you, Father. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for new things you have begun to do in our lives. Thank you for revealing a great beauty in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for clothing us with great honor. Thank you, Father. Thank you for fighting our battles. Thank you for giving us victories on every side. Thank you for how you have been defending us against attacks from the enemy. Thank you because the deadly attacks from the witchcraft forces and satanic forces and demonic agents have not succeeded over our lives. Thank you for making us to see your light in the midst of darkness. Thank you for making us to see your ways where it appears there was no way. Thank you, Lord, for showing us revelations of yourself and your truths and your kingdom. Thank you, Lord. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for your faithfulness toward every one of us in this ministry. Thank you for how you have been taking good care of us. Thank you for how you have been answering our prayers. Thank you for how you have been blessing us with spiritual and physical blessings. Thank you, Father. We thank you because even in the prayer session of tonight, we shall see your glory. We shall see your grace. We shall see your power produce mighty results. Thank you, Father. We welcome you right here, Lord. Have your way. We ask that you empower us by your Holy Spirit to pray with authority and prevail. We ask that you fill our mouths and tongues with divine utterances and make us victorious as we pray. Thank you, Lord, because we know you shall do beyond our expectations. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. And I strongly believe that if you can pray with faith tonight, the God of Israel will help you. Amen. I'm going to take some worship songs, and after that, we shall go into the prayer point. We are grateful, O Lord. We How excellent is your name,
Praise of your name. One more time.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, because you have reserved for me fullness of blessings, excess blessings, too many blessings. You have reserved for me great blessings in yourself. You have reserved for me great blessings in yourself. Thank you, because having you in my life is having all that I need. Thank you, Lord, because having you in my life is having all that I need. Is having the strength that I need. Is having the help that I need. Having you is having helpers that I need. Having you is having the riches and the wealth and the money that I need. Having you is having the progress that I need. Having you is having the greatness that I need in my calling and destiny. Lord, having you is having victories. Having you is having healings. Having you is having breakthroughs. Having you in my life is having deliverances. Having you is having the truth, the light, and righteousness. Having you is having divine revelations. Lord, thank you for the fullness of blessings you have reserved for my life in you. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Yeah. We're going to be praying with a particular scripture. I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Psalm. We're going to be praying from that place in the book of Psalm. The book of Psalm, chapter 36. The book of Psalms, chapter 36. I'm going to read from. I'm going to read from New Living Translation. From New Living Translation, Psalm 36. Now, we're going to be looking at verse 1. Psalm 36, verse 1. It says, sin whispers to the wicked deep within their hearts. They have no fear of God at all. Sin whispers to the wicked deep within their hearts. They have no fear of God at all. Yeah. What is sin? Yeah, what is sin? Sin is popularly known as every disobedience to the will of God, to the word of God, to the ways of God. Yeah, but there is more to sin like that. Yeah, but before I began to tell you more about sin, I want you to raise up your right hand. You're going to say, Father, have mercy on me. Forgive me of. You're going to say, Father, have mercy on me. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean in the blood of Jesus. Forgive me of my sins in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and begin to pray like that. Raise up your right hand. Say, Father, have mercy on me. Say, Father, forgive me of my sins. Say, Father, have mercy on me. Say, Lord, have mercy on me. Wash me in the blood of Jesus till I am whiter than snow, till I am pure and clean and holy. So Lord, have mercy on me. And you know in your heart that God does not forgive unrepentant sinners. So you're going to say, Father, I repent of my wickedness. You're going to say, Father, I repent of every evil intention that fills my heart. You're going to say, Father, I repent of not forgiving those that hurt me. You're going to say, Father, I repent of disobeying your leadings, your directions and instructions. You're going to say, Father, I repent of making you angry. I repent of hurting your feelings. Say, Lord, I repent. Say, Lord, I repent. Forgive me. Begin to talk to God like that. Raise up your right hand. Say, Lord, forgive me. Say, Lord, I repent of all my sins. Say, Lord, I repent of all my wickedness. Say, Lord, I repent of all my lustfulness. Say, Lord, I repent of all my pride. Say, Lord, I repent of all my iniquities. Say, Lord, I repent of all the unclean thoughts I used to think in my mind. Say, Lord, I repent now. Forgive me my sins. Forgive me all my sins. Thank you, Lord. Wash me clean in your blood. Wash me clean in your blood till I am whiter than snow. Forgive me, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I pray for every one of you that have prayed this prayer wholeheartedly, that your sins shall be forgiven in the name of Jesus. Even the sins you committed ignorantly shall be forgiven now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. We are still looking at the book of Psalm 36. Verse 1 says, sin whispers to the wicked deep within their hearts. So, what is sin? Yeah, recently, as I was going through some chapters in the book of Romans, I realized that sin is more than breaking God's law. Sin is more than disobeying God's commandments, disobeying God's instructions. Sin is more than being carnally minded. I realized that sin is a spirit. Sin is a nature. Sin is a spirit. Sin is a nature. And the Bible talks about Adamic nature. The Bible talks about sinful nature. The Bible says that every one of us have been born with a nature that naturally wants to sin. Every one of us have been born with a nature that naturally wants to offend God, with a nature that naturally wants to do what is evil, what is unrighteous, what is ungodly. Every one of us has been born with a nature that naturally loves darkness and hates the light. So that nature that is in you, you know, that's nature that is making you to reject the truth and embrace lies. That nature in you that is not allowing you to do what is right, that nature is also known as sin. Yeah. If you read the book of Romans, you will see it there. So you're going to place your right hand on your head. Except the nature of sin dies in your life, you cannot stop offending God. You will not be able to stop sinning until the nature of sin dies. Put your right hand on your head. You're going to say, Father, let the nature of sin in me die. Let sin in me die. Let the nature of sin in me die. Because I want to please you. I want to honor you with my life. I want to glorify you with my life. Let the nature of sin in me die. Begin to pray like that. Oh God of Israel, let the nature of sin in me die. Let the nature of sin in me die. Let the nature of sin in my body die. Let the nature of sin in my soul die. Let the nature of sin in my spirit die. I want to please you with my life. I want to please you with my thoughts. I want to please you with my words and actions. I want to please you with my lifestyle. I want to please you and honor you and glorify you with my life. Lord, let the nature of sin in me die now. Thank you, Lord. Let the nature of sin in me die right now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I'm going to pray until the nature of sin in you die. All your righteousness is fake before God. Until the nature of sin in you die, all your righteousness, according to the scriptures, is filthy rags. Yeah. So it is when the nature of sin in us die that we can now live the righteousness of God. The only righteousness that is acceptable in heaven is the righteousness of God Himself. Is the righteousness of Jesus Christ Himself. So not your own righteousness, not you trying to use human wisdom to please God, but you trusting in God to help you please Him. That is the only righteousness that is acceptable in the kingdom of God. Righteousness that comes through faith in God. Meaning that you believe that God is going to help you to please Him. That God is going to help you to do what is right. Yeah, when God is helping you to do what is right, that is when your righteousness will be acceptable in heaven. So you are going to pray again. Yeah, maybe you have been trying to practice self-righteousness. Maybe you have been trying to practice a kind of righteousness and you think, and you are telling yourself that as long as I can do this for God, I have no issue with God. I am okay. I am righteous. Who said that? Yeah. So you're going to pray. I'm going to say, Father, deliver me from every righteousness I gave to myself to justify myself before you. Say, Father, deliver me from every righteousness I gave myself to justify myself before you. Give me your own righteousness. Yeah, because some of you only take some part of the Bible, and those parts you are okay with them. Other parts of the Bible, you know, you feel like your own opinion matters. You feel like your own opinion is greater than the word of God. That is self-righteousness. Yeah, talk to God. Say, Lord, deliver me from every righteousness I gave myself so as to justify myself before you. Say, Lord, deliver me now. Give me your own righteousness. Open your mouth and begin to pray like that. Nasha Shenasa Gashi Henda Tebalasia Nentitoke Kabashia Tanaga. Say, Lord, deliver me from every righteousness I gave myself, thinking that they will approve me in your presence. think that such righteousness will be acceptable before him. Lord, deliver me from every righteousness I gave myself. Give me your own righteousness. Give me your own righteousness. Give me your own righteousness. So Lord, give me your own righteousness. So Lord, give me your own righteousness. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. You're going to pray? How would you live? How would you live God's righteousness? How would you manifest God's righteousness? If not by the Spirit of God, we cannot manifest God's righteousness except by the Spirit of God. Yeah, because the Spirit of God is the Spirit of righteousness. The Spirit of God always do everything right. The Spirit of God is always right. So righteousness of God means actions of God by which God is always right. Yeah, it means the nature of God that by which he is always right. Yeah, so you're going to pray. You need the Spirit of God to control your life for you to be able to manifest a righteousness that heaven will accept. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, that for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You're going to raise up your right hand. You're going to say, Father, I want my life from this moment onward to be fully controlled and led by your Spirit. Say, Lord, I want my life from this hour henceforth to be fully controlled and led by your Spirit. Lord, release your Spirit into my life to do this. Send your Spirit into my life now to do this. In the name of Jesus, activate your Spirit in me to begin to do this. In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and pray like that. He let Yeshua Tasasa Bashunde de Kagadela. Thank you, Lord. Continue to pray like that. Say, Lord, I want my entire life. I want my entire life, all my life, to be fully controlled by your Spirit. I want all my life to be fully directed and led by your Spirit. Lord, release your Spirit into my life to begin to do this now. Thank you, Lord. Continue to pray like that. So, Lord, put your Spirit on me to begin to do this now. In the name of Jesus, receive the Holy Spirit right now. As you are hearing the sound of my voice, receive the Holy Ghost in the dimension of leading you. Receive the Holy Ghost in the dimension of directing your life. Henceforth, in the name of Jesus, receive the Holy Ghost right now. Receive the Holy Ghost right now in the dimension of controlling the affairs of your life, leading you through the right ways every day. Receive that dimension of the Holy Ghost operations now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Whenever we talk about being led by the Holy Spirit, yeah, or maybe I should say having the Holy Spirit, some people think is all about speaking in tongues. That is wrong. Ghost, being led by the Holy Ghost, is not all about speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is a gift. Yeah, speaking in tongues is a gift of the Holy Ghost. To achieve a lot of operations in your life and in the life of the people God will use you to minister to. So yeah, so it is just a gift. Yeah, but the Holy Ghost is more than that. The Holy Ghost is a person. The Spirit of God is a person. Yeah. And people like myself, I already have the Holy Ghost before I began to speak in tongues. Yeah. Before I began to pray in unknown tongues, I have already been, you know, I already have the Holy Ghost, or maybe I should say I already have this a relationship with the Holy Spirit. I already have His presence. And He has been talking to me, leading me, guiding me. So the presence of the Holy Spirit is for every Christian, not for people that speak in tongues. And as a matter of fact, there are people who speak in tongues and the Holy Ghost is not leading their lives. They just speak in tongues. They have no connection and relationship with the Holy Spirit. So you're going to pray. So what I'm talking about here is real in the lives of every Christian. As long as you are born again, you have repented and surrendered your life to Jesus, then the Holy Spirit can lead you. The Holy Spirit can speak to you. The Holy Spirit can direct your life. So this is not about speaking in tongues. This is not about gifts of the Holy Spirit. This is about the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life and the works of the Holy Spirit in your life. Yeah, this is about the Spirit of God working in you. So you're going to raise up your right hand. You're going to say, Holy Spirit, I desire to have a personal relationship with you. I desire to have a strong intimacy with you. Manifest yourself in me. Manifest yourself to me in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and begin to pray like that. Raise up your right hand, say, Holy Spirit, I desire a strong intimacy with you. Say, Holy Spirit, I desire a personal relationship with you. Manifest yourself in me and manifest yourself to me in the name of Jesus. Begin to pray like that. Thank you, Lord. Begin to pray like that. Say, Holy Spirit, I desire a strong fellowship with you, a strong relationship with you, a strong intimacy with you. Manifest yourself in me. Manifest yourself to me in the name of Jesus. I want to hear from you. I want to receive from you. I want to be led by you. I want you to control my life. Holy Spirit, Lord, manifest yourself to me and in me. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Yeah. We're still praying about the Holy Spirit. Yeah. I remember when I was desiring more of the Holy Ghost, when I was desiring to be filled with the Holy Spirit, yeah, one of my reasons, let me not say one of my reasons, my main reason is because I want to please God. Yeah. So I was crying. I said, God, give me your Holy Spirit, because I know it is by your Holy Spirit that I can please you. I know it is by your Holy Spirit that I can live a holy life. Yeah, I don't know where I got that inspiration from. I was just praying. I said, God, give me Holy Spirit. So I was not saying, God, give me Holy Spirit because I want to speak in tongues. Yeah, I was not saying that. Yeah, I was saying, God, give me Holy Spirit because I want to please you. Because I know that is the only way to please you. And I was right. Yeah, because according to the scriptures, it is as we yield to the Holy Spirit that we can be righteous. Yeah. The Bible says that that we, by the power of the Holy Spirit, kill the deeds of the flesh. Yeah, the Bible says we kill the deeds of the body by the power of the Holy Spirit. So you're going to pray again. I don't know why you need the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I don't know why you need the Holy Spirit, but I want to give you a why. I want to give you a strong reason, which is to live righteously, which is to manifest God's righteousness. So you're going to pray. You're going to say, Father, activate the presence of your Holy Spirit in me to help me live righteously in your sight. If you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit is already in you. You just need to be filled with more of him. The Holy Spirit is already in every Christian. You might not be speaking in tongues, yes, but you already have him. You already have his presence in you. So you're going to say, Father, activate the presence of your Holy Spirit in me to begin to help me live righteously before you. Open your mouth and begin to pray like that. What is the usefulness of the Holy Spirit you have and you cannot live a holy life? Then why are you a Christian? Yeah, what is the usefulness of having the Holy Ghost and he is not correcting you? He's not telling you to stop lying. You have the Holy Ghost, he's not telling you to stop committing sin. Then what kind of Holy Ghost is that? Say, Lord, activate the presence of your Holy Ghost in me to enable me live righteously in your sight, to enable me do what is right in your sight, always, in the name of Jesus. I am praying for you. As many of you that desire to live righteously before God, right now, let the dimension of the Holy Spirit that produce God's righteousness in man be fully activated in you right now in Jesus' name. That operation of the Holy Ghost that will make you live holy unto the Lord, let that operation of the Holy Ghost begin from within you now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. In Jesus' name it is done. Amen. Yeah. So now we're going to look at Romans chapter 8 verse 13. I want to show you that the Holy Spirit is very operational in helping us live a holy life. Yeah. In Romans chapter 8 verse 13. It says, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. I repeat, Romans chapter 8, verse 13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Did you get that? He said, if ye through the Spirit. So meaning that, except by the Spirit, you cannot kill the deeds of your body. Meaning that you cannot kill the sinful passions of your body. You cannot kill the sinful desires flowing through your body. It is only through the Spirit that you can do that. If you think you can do it without the Spirit, then that is self-righteousness. If you think you can do what is right except through the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, that thing that you think you have done right cannot be acceptable before God, because it will become self-righteousness. Yes. So you're going to pray. If you want to please God, you need the help of the Holy Spirit. You're going to pray again. You're going to say, Father, help me to be strong enough to mortify the sinful desires of my body. Help me to be strong enough to mortify the sinful desires of my body by your Spirit in me. Help me to be disciplined enough. It takes discipline to mortify the desires of your body, to kill the passions of sin in you. Say, Lord, help me to be strong enough. Help me to be determined enough. Help me to be disciplined enough to mortify the deeds of my body by the help of the Holy Spirit. Open your mouth and begin to pray like that. Begin to pray like that. Though the Holy Spirit is going to help you, but you also have a role to play. You can see, he said, if you. He didn't say if the Holy Spirit killed the deeds of your body. He said if you, through the Spirit. So it is you and the Spirit working to kill the deeds of your body, to kill the lust of your flesh, to kill the works of your flesh. So you're going to say, Lord, help me to be strong enough to mortify the sinful desires in my body, to mortify the works of the flesh in my life, to mortify the sinful nature in my life, through the help of your Spirit. Help me to be determined enough. Help me to be strong enough. Help me to be wise enough. In the name of Jesus, help me to be disciplined enough to mortify the deeds of my body. In the name of Jesus. So that I can please you with my life. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I'm going to pick one more prayer point from this Romans. Then we'll move back to the book of Psalm 36 we started with. Now, if you look at that book of Romans chapter 8 verse 13, it talks about live and die. It talks about two things, live and die. It says, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. And then it says, if you, through the Holy Spirit, mortify the deeds of your body, you shall live. Did you get that? Yeah, so that means that Christians have been given the power to choose whether to live or to die. All believers don't have that power. They don't have that privilege. You have been given the power to choose whether you will live or you will die. And now, this die we're talking about here, we're talking about spiritual death, which is the foundation of physical death. Yeah. People die physically because they have died spiritually. Yeah. When God created Adam and Eve, God did not create them to die. So it was after they died spiritually that men began to die physically. Yeah. So which also means that if you stay in the realm of death, or maybe I should say, the longer you stay in the realm of death, I mean in the realm of spiritual death, the easier it becomes for you to die physically. Yeah, and the easier it becomes for people in your life, people in your family to die physically. Yeah, because sometimes God can decide to use you as a parent, as a spiritual covering over the people in your house. God can decide to use you as a spiritual covering over the people in your family. So if you, that is meant to be a covering over the people in your family, you are now dead spiritually. That means the people in your family, they are no longer safe. They could also die anytime. I mean, they could die physically anytime. So spiritual death is the foundation for physical death, which includes sicknesses and diseases. Now, if you look at the Old Testament, you will see where God said that God was telling them that if you obey my words, if you obey my commandments, God said, I will remove sickness from the midst of you. I will remove diseases from the midst of you. So, which means that obedience to God, which in this dispensation can, you know, come through the Holy Spirit, as we allow the Holy Spirit to help us, as we mortify the deeds of our bodies through the Holy Spirit. So meaning that obedience to God means you can't fall sick. That's what it means. Real obedience to God, or living in the Spirit, I mean living in the Spirit for real, means that you cannot fall sick. And then it means you cannot die untimely. Yeah, that's what it means. So you're going to pray. So the question is, I mean, my question to all of you is, how much do you live in the Spirit? And how much do you live in the flesh? Yeah. If you spend most of your days or most of your hours in a day in the flesh, thinking about worldly things, carnal things, then it means you are in the realm of spiritual death every time you are in the flesh. But if you think upon heavenly things, yeah, and you through the Spirit in you, kill the desires of your body, the desires of your sinful nature, and then you are always in the Spirit, then it means you are in the realm of life, the realm of eternal life. That's what it means, which is also the realm of light. So you are going to pray. You're going to say, Father, I don't want to die spiritually. Because, say, Father, I don't want to live in the realm of spiritual death. Help me. That's how you're going to pray like that. Yeah, maybe you have been struggling to live in the realm of life. Yeah, talk to God. Say, Lord, I don't want to live in the realm of spiritual death. Say, Lord, I want to live in the realm of your life. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Begin to pray like that. The more you live in the realm of death, the more you become vulnerable to demonic attacks. The more you become vulnerable to witchcraft attacks. The more you become vulnerable to be beaten by spiritual serpents and scorpions. The more you become vulnerable to die untimely death. The more you become vulnerable to contact dangerous sicknesses and diseases. Say, Lord, I don't want to live my life in the realm of spiritual death. I want to live always in the realm of your spirit. Say, Lord, help me. Say, Lord, help me. Continue to pray like that. Continue to pray like that. Say, Lord, I don't want to die spiritually. I want to live. Say, Lord, I want to live. Help me. This is true revival. When we talk about revival, yeah, we're not talking about people speaking in tongues everywhere. We're not talking about all these physical signs and wonders. Though they are part of revival, but we're talking about a generation of people who are always living in the spirit. We're talking about a generation of people who are living always in the spirit. People who are always living in the realm of life and not in the realm of death. That is when we can say those people are revived. Yeah, we're not just talking about signs and wonders, miracles. Yes, that is part of revival, but that is not the root of revival. Say, Lord, I want to live in the realm of your life. Deliver me from the realm of spiritual death. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Yeah, before we move to the book of Psalm 36, yeah, you're going to pray. The Holy Spirit is telling me that He wants to revive many of you. Yeah, the Holy Spirit is telling that He wants to use His fire. You know that the Holy Ghost has a dimension of fire. I believe you know that. Yeah, the Bible says it was John the Baptist that was talking. I think in Matthew chapter 3. Yeah, John the Baptist said that there is someone coming after me that is greater than I am. He said he's not worthy to even lose the sandals on his feet. He said he shall baptize you with Holy Ghost and fire. Yeah, I believe you get that. Maybe I should read it so that you can connect with the power in that scripture. Yeah. Matthew chapter 3 verse 11. Matthew chapter 3 verse 11. It says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Yeah. So the Holy Ghost has a dimension of fire by which he operates. So meaning that the Holy Ghost can become fire to carry out some operations. So that fire in that place is still connected to the Holy Ghost. If you look at the book of Acts, I think Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Ghost came down upon the apostles on the day of Pentecost, you will see that the Bible says that as the Holy Ghost came down, something appeared on the heads of all of them. The Bible says that there appeared something like a cloven tongue of fire upon all of them. Yeah, so the fire that John the Baptist was talking about is a dimension of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost wants to use that fire to revive some of you. So God wants to remove you from the realm of death, from the realm of spiritual death, and plant you in the realm of life. So you're going to raise up your right hand. You're going to say, fire of the Holy Ghost, uproot my spirit, soul, and body from the realm of spiritual death and establish me permanently in the realm of eternal life. I'm going to take it again. Raise up your right hand, say, fire of the Holy Ghost, uproot my spirit, soul, and body from the realm of spiritual death and establish me forever in the realm of eternal life. In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and begin to pray like that. La hasoshima de doara giusia ille nusha tatando bingeria. Continue to pray like that. Continue to pray like that. If I were you, I will pray this prayer so fervently. I will pray this prayer desperately, because I don't want to die spiritually, because I don't want to die eternally. Talk to God. Say, Lord, let fire of the Holy Ghost uproot me now from the realm of spiritual death and plant me into the realm of life eternal, into the realm of your presence forever. In the name of Jesus, let me be revived by fire. Begin to pray like that. Say, Lord, let my spirit, soul, and body be revived by fire. Revive me by fire. Holy Ghost fire, revive me. 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 Thank you, Lord. Jacques Kegedengela Balakala. Jesus Ateka Kashia. Natashoda Navalasa Sajia. Jekekedekala. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, a woman is being revived. I see the fire of God reviving a woman among you. Continue to pray. God is working. If you can pray, He's going to revive you. You have been dead spiritually. You can't pray. You can't read the Bible. You can't meditate. You can't even think right. All the thoughts of your imagination's polluted. You need revival. You dream, and all your dreams are about the devil. Why should you always be dreaming about the devil? Why should you always be dreaming about demons attacking you? Why can't you? Don't you think you can dream about heaven? Don't you think you can dream dreams that God sends from heaven into your spirit? Talk to God. You need revival. You need revival. Sheke sheria tanaga sasara. Thank you, Lord. Mashen tihande kakazaria. Say, fire of the Holy Ghost, uproot my spirit, soul, and body from the realm of spiritual death. Thank you, Lord. Uproot my spirit, soul, and body from the realm of spiritual death. Plant me into the realm of eternal life, into the realm of your presence, oh God. Thank you. name. It is done. Amen. Amen. Yeah. John the Baptist said, he said, Jesus shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Jesus shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Yeah. The reason why you need the fire dimension of the Holy Ghost in your life is because there is a lot in our lives in this earth that is against the Spirit. So anything that is against the Spirit, God wants to use His fire to destroy them. Yeah, anything in your body, in your soul, in your spirit that is against the Holy Spirit will become fire to get rid of them. Anything in your life that is standing as a limitation to the fulfillment of God's purpose and desires for your life, the Holy Spirit will become fire to destroy them all. So you're going to place your right hand on your head. The Holy Ghost in you can transform into fire. Yeah. For instance, somebody like me, when I'm praying, I can literally feel fire. Yeah. So that is why this fire we're talking about is real. It is a way of proving it to you that it's real. I can literally feel fire burning in my bones, in my body. I can feel the fire as if I touch a literal fire. Yeah, that is how real it is. And when the fire is burning, I can begin to see myself delivered. I can begin to see myself victorious. Yeah, so you're going to place your right hand on your head. You're going to say, in the name of Jesus, let the Holy Ghost in me become fire to destroy everything that does not agree with Jesus. To destroy everything that does not agree with light. To destroy everything that does not agree with the truth. Holy Ghost in me, become fire. Become fire. Thank you, Lord. Open your mouth and begin to pray like that. Let your shana sa. Hita shoman dihakedea. Lana shetepa kakasa sasatata. Hilelea shimana diusizera. Lakujia tamanaga dija. Lesasashia. Thank you, Lord. Say in the name of Jesus, let the Holy Ghost in me transform to fire for complete deliverance. Let the Holy Ghost in me become fire. Let the Holy Ghost in me become fire and begin to destroy everything that does not agree with righteousness. Thank you, Lord. Everything that does not agree with God's righteousness, with God's presence, with the light of God, with the truth of God. Let the Holy Ghost in me become fire to destroy them now. In the name of Jesus, begin to pray like that. Thank you, Lord. Continue to pray. Continue to pray. Holy Ghost in me, change to fire. Become fire. Become fire. Become fire. And give me complete deliverance. Become fire. Give me revival. Become fire. Give me deliverance. Become fire. Thank you, Lord. Something is happening as you're praying like that. Say, Holy Ghost in me, become fire. Holy Ghost in me, become fire. Let the Holy Ghost in me become fire. In the name of Jesus, let the Holy Ghost in me, thank you, Lord, become fire till I am completely delivered, till I am completely revived. Let the Holy Ghost in me become fire. Let everything that cannot be found in Jesus die by fire. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. So now let's move to the book of Psalm 36. Psalm 36, and I decided to read that one from New Living Translation. Psalm 36, verse 1, it says, sin whispers to the wicked deep within their hearts. Sin whispers to the wicked deep within their hearts. So as I was saying, that sin is not only when you disobey God's instructions and God's commandments. Sin is also a spirit that has a nature, because every spirit has a nature. Sin is a spirit that has a nature. And every human being has been born into the world with that spirit and that nature. Yeah, every human being has come into the world with the spirit of sin and with the nature of sin. And that is why God, the only thing God said we should do to that nature is to kill it. Yeah. The only thing God said we should do to it is to kill it. And that is what Jesus also did on the cross of Calvary. The moment Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says that the nature of sin died. Yeah. So Jesus died so that the sin in us can die. The Bible says he became sin for us. So Jesus became that personality of sin, that nature of sin. Jesus became it on the cross. So, and the moment Jesus died, that nature died forever. So, which means that if the nature is still living in your life, it's because you want it to live. If the nature of sin is still alive in your life, it's because you want that nature to be alive. Jesus already gave us a grace that kills that nature. He already produced that grace the moment he died on the cross of Calvary. So if the nature of sin is still alive in you, you're still telling lies, you're still stealing, you're still gossiping, you are still you are still serving money, you have love of money, you are still committing sexual sins, you are still addicted, it's because you want to. Yeah, not because you have to. Yeah, if you are still committing a particular sin, is because you want to commit that sin, not because you have to. Because Jesus already killed that nature on the cross. So all you need to do is to believe in what Jesus did on the cross and activate the deliverance through prayers. Yeah. Then you will practically see that nature die in you if you want it to die. Through prayers of faith in the grace that was produced on the cross of Calvary when Jesus died, you will practically see the nature of sin in your life die. So the reason why many Christians still have that nature alive in them is because they don't want to let go of that nature. So you are going to pray. It says, sin whispers to the wicked. You're going to pray. You're going to say, in the name of Jesus, I refuse to be controlled by the sin nature. I refuse to be controlled by the spirit of sin. I destroy the nature of sin in my life now, in the name of Jesus. Let the nature of sin in my life be destroyed now, in the name of Jesus. Begin to pray like that. Begin to pray like that. Begin to pray like that. Begin to say, I connect with the grace that was produced on the cross of Calvary by the death of Jesus. And I decree that the nature of sin in me die now, in the name of Jesus. Say, I connect with the grace that was produced on the cross of Calvary. And I decree that the nature of sin die in my life now, in the name of Jesus. I decree that the spirit of sin die in my life now, in the name of Jesus. Begin to pray like that. Begin to pray like that. Begin to pray like that. The fire of the Holy Ghost destroy the nature of sin ruling in my body. Say, fire of the Holy Ghost, destroy the nature of sin ruling in my soul. Say, fire of the Holy Ghost, destroy the nature of sin ruling in my spirit. Now, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Yeah, so Psalm 36 verse 1 says, sin whispers to the wicked deep within their hearts. Yeah, according to New Living Translation. Now, this means that this nature of sin can speak to you. The nature of sin can talk to you. The nature of sin can advise you, can control you. Why is it that every time you want to do what is right, that you start having all manner of negative thoughts in your mind? Why is it when you want to do what is right, then a lot of thoughts start showing up in your mind? A lot of thoughts start discouraging you. A lot of thoughts start polluting your mind. So why is it when you want to do what is right that those things are happening? It is the sin in you that is speaking. Yeah. It is the nature of sin in you that is speaking. Yeah, and you must not yield to the voice of sin. You must not yield to those thoughts. You're going to place your right hand on your head. You're going to say, my soul, hear the voice. You shall no longer yield to the voice of sin. You shall no longer yield to the thoughts of sin. You shall no longer yield to the imaginations of sin. My soul, hear the voice of the Lord. My soul, I command you. You shall no longer yield to the thoughts of sin, to the whispers of sin, to the imaginations of sin. In the name of Jesus, begin to pray like that. Thank you, Lord. Begin to pray like that. Thank you, Lord. Continue to pray like that. Begin to pray, say, my soul, I command you. From today onward, you shall not yield to the voice of sin. You shall not yield to the intentions of sin. You shall not yield to the imaginations of sin. You shall not yield. You shall not obey. You shall not surrender to the thoughts of sin. In the name of Jesus, begin to pray like that. Thank you, Lord. Say, my soul, I command you. You shall not yield to the feelings of sin. Thank you, Lord. You shall not yield to the emotions of sin. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Yeah, you know, for some time, I used to believe my feelings. Yeah, when I feel in a certain way, I used to believe that is the right way to feel. I used to believe, I used to believe those feelings, and I used to follow after those feelings and emotions. Yeah, but when God opened my eyes, I discovered that more than 90% of what we feel are from the same nature. They are not from the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I'm going to repeat myself. When God opened my eyes, I realized that more than 90% of what we feel, meaning that more than 90% of the feelings and emotions in our body are not from the Holy Spirit. They are from the same nature, including the feelings of pride, the feelings of bitterness, the feelings of hate, the feelings of anger, yeah, the feelings of lust, desire for pleasures, and all of that. Yeah. So when I discovered that, I began to pray that the fire of the Holy Ghost begin to destroy every feeling that has no root in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit. Yeah, even if it feels good, yeah, even if that feeling feels good, as long as it doesn't have a root in the Spirit of God, I don't want to feel it. Yeah, I don't want to feel it. So you're going to raise up your right hand. You're going to say, fire of the Holy Ghost, sanctify my feelings and emotions. Sanctify my feelings and emotions. Destroy every feeling and emotion that has no roots in God, that has no roots in Christ. Destroy them now. Say, fire of the Holy Ghost, pass through my feelings and emotions. Destroy every feeling and emotion that has no roots in Christ, that has no roots in God, that has no root in the Word of God. Begin to pray like that. Begin to pray like that. There is a way sin will make you feel more important than God. That is how they manipulate your feelings and emotions. There's a way it makes you feel more important than other people. There's a way sin make you feel more important than the Word of God. And you now start serving yourself. You start worshiping yourself instead of worshiping God. Say, Lord, let fire of the Holy Ghost pass through my emotions and feelings. Let every fragment of emotional feelings that has no root in you die. In the name of Jesus, why should you feel anger when God wants you to feel love? When you should feel love, you are feeling anger, you are feeling hatred, you are feeling bitterness, then there's a problem. Say, Lord, let your fire pass through my feelings and emotions. And let every fragment of feeling and emotion that has no root in you die. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Yeah. Now, the question is, why is the kingdom of God so concerned about the nature of sin in our lives? Why is the kingdom of God so concerned that this nature must die? Yeah, it is because God has known this nature for a long time. Yeah, God has known this nature even before he created human being. Remember that Lucifer, who became Satan, also had sin in him. If you read the Bible, the Bible says sin was found in Lucifer. That was why he couldn't stay in heaven anymore. He lost his place in heaven. Yeah. So God has known this nature we are talking about for billions of years. God knows about this nature. So if God is saying this nature must die, God knows what he's saying. It is because except it dies, you will die. Except the nature of sin die in your life, it will kill you. Just as it killed Satan. Now, of course, Satan is not dead. I mean, but Satan is spiritually dead. To be spiritually dead is to be separated from God. That's the meaning of spiritual death. Yeah. So just as it killed the angels in heaven, who are now demons, this nature will also kill everyone that embraces it. Yeah. So that is why it must die. If God loves you, then the first thing he must do in your life is to help you kill the sin nature. If God has not yet done this in your life, it means you have not allowed him. Because that is always what he wants to do first. Yes, God wants you to be prosperous. He wants you to be healed physically. He wants you to be, you know, to have breakthroughs. Yeah. But if he has not helped you destroy the sin nature, then he has not helped you at all. Until he helped you destroy the sin nature, then he has not helped you at all. Yeah, so that is why you have to be careful. If God is blessing you physically and God is no longer concerned about you living holy and righteous before him, God is no longer correcting you. God is no longer showing you the light, the truth, so that you can obey them. Yeah, and God is no longer convicting you of your sins. Then you should be, you know, you should start crying, because it could mean that God already handed you over to sin. Yeah. Yeah. So you need to be scared. If everything on your house side is going fine, but in your relationship with God, it is so bad. You are so full of pollutions, corruption. You're so full of spiritual death. And God is not, I no longer feel, you no longer feel remorse that you are committing sin. Then you should be scared. Yeah, because it means that it means you have been judged by God. That's what it means. But God will still continue to bless you physically. He will still continue to, you know, prosper you physically. But if he no longer talk about you living holy and righteous, if he no longer talk to you about that, and he no longer correct you, he no longer discipline you, chastise you for doing what is wrong, then you should be scared. You should start crying, because it could mean that you have been judged already. So you're going to pray again. Yeah, you're going to pray again. God knows that the nature of sin leads to deep darkness. Very deep darkness. And the more you enjoy that nature, the more you continue to live according to that nature, the more you might the more you might become irredeemable. The more you might not be saved anymore. I don't know if that English is correct. The more you might not find salvation, or the more you might not get saved anymore, or the more you might not get any chance of being saved and of making heaven. So you're going to pray again. You can say, Father, in your mercy, stretch forth your hand. Pull me out of deep darkness that the sin nature has brought me into. You can say, Father, in your mercy, by your mercy, pull me out of deep darkness that sin nature has brought me into. Open your mouth and begin to pray like that. Sheshetekashana, lishadahakasajdiba, mandi josesanagatashida. Thank you, Lord. Continue to pray. Say, Father, by your mercy, stretch forth your hand. Pull me out of deep darkness. Pull me out of the depths of darkness that sin nature has brought me into. Yeah, this is not a time to try to justify yourself. This is not a time to be thinking, I don't think I am committing any sin. I don't think I have committed any sin. This is not a time to think like that. Pray. You can be in deep darkness and think you are in deep light. I know what I'm talking about. Talk to God. Say, Lord, by your mercy, stretch forth your mighty hand. Pull me out of every sin, every depths of darkness. Pull me out of deep darkness that the sin nature has brought me into. Pull me out right now. Pull me out right now. Continue to pray like that. Pull me out. Pull me out. Pull me out. In the name of Jesus. He Shakoma Trasa Dihanda Juliana. Henese Sangashitanamala. Thank you, Lord. Say, Lord, by your mighty hand, pull me out of the depths of darkness. The nature of sin has brought me into. Pull me out now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Yeah. We're going to pray 5 more prayer points and we'll round off the session. Yeah, there was a time I did a teaching or I posted a post where I said that, where I was talking about the power that produces healing. Yeah, I was talking about my experience with the power of God that produces healing. Yeah, and I said the same power that removes sin, the same power that removes sin is the same power that heals. Yeah, the same power that, you know, that destroys the sin nature is the same power that gives healing. And how is this true? If you look at the scripture, you will see that it is the same death of Jesus on the cross of Calvary that terminated sin, that also terminates sicknesses and diseases. The same death on the cross of Calvary that destroys sin, the sin nature, is also the same death that destroys sicknesses and diseases. Yeah, so that is why, if you want to enjoy health, I'm not talking about healing now. Yeah, I'm talking about something greater than healing, which is health. If you want to enjoy divine health, then stop living in sin. Stop yielding to your sin nature. Then you will enjoy health. Yeah, that is the truth. Yeah, that is the truth. I know that there is a dimension of the Holy Spirit called the gifts of healings, the healing anointing. Yeah, I know that. And that dimension is usually about revival. God wants to win souls, and God decided to move in his mercy. I mean, that dimension is usually released from heaven when God wants to move in mercy, to win souls, you know, to cause revival. You know, when God began to raise the dead, heal people, many people will come to receive the gospel. Yeah. So God does that one. It does that one. But there is another dimension of healing that is not according to the healing anointing. There's another dimension of healing that starts from inside of you. Yeah. And that healing is being done by the same grace, by the same power, by the same grace that terminates sin. So yeah, so and I believe in that healing more than the outside healing. The one that the anointing come upon you and then the cripple stand up and start walking. I believe in that one too, but not like the healing that comes from the inside of people as they overcome sin. Yeah, there is a healing that happens from the inside of you as you overcome sin. It's different from the healing that comes from the outside through the mercy of God, through the anointing. Yeah, it's a two different, it's the same healing, but in different ways. It's not this, it's the same healing, but different operations. Yeah, different operations. So you're going to pray, you're going to place your right hand on your head. You're going to say, Father, let Let the grace, you're going to say, Father, let the grace of Jesus that destroys sin, yeah, also destroy. Let the grace of Jesus that destroys sin also destroy every deposit of sickness and disease in me. Let that grace manifest in me and destroy them all. Right now, the name of Jesus. Say, the grace of Jesus that destroys sin, let it manifest in me and destroy every root of sickness, seed of sickness and disease, seed of weakness, seed of sicknesses, root of sicknesses. Right now, in the name of Jesus, begin to pray like that. Begin to pray like that. Say, Lord, let your grace that destroys sin manifest in me to destroy sicknesses and diseases. As that grace is destroying sin in me, let it destroy sicknesses and diseases in me as well. In the name of Jesus, let it destroy every fragment of sickness, every deposit of sickness in me, in the name of Jesus. Begin to pray like that. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I pray for you that the same grace that produces holiness and righteousness manifest in you to eradicate every sickness and disease in Jesus' name. As that grace begins to help you to overcome sin, let it destroy sickness and diseases in the same moment in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Yeah. We have one more prayer point. You need to understand that God is attracted to those who are pure and righteous. God is attracted to the pure in heart than he is to those who are polluted in their hearts. Yeah, but sometimes the pure in heart still don't get visited by God because of doubts and unbelief. Sometimes those who are pleasing God with their lives, they still don't experience divine visitations and divine encounters and miracles because of unbelief and fear and doubts in their hearts. Yeah, so you are going to pray. Yeah, there are some helps you cannot get from God if fear is still in you. There are some helps you will not get from heaven if doubt, unbelief is still in you. Yeah, you might be under the strongest anointing. Yeah, and yet your miracle will not happen because of fear, doubts, and unbelief. So you're going to pray. You're going to say, Father, destroy the presence of fear, doubts, and unbelief in my soul, in my mind. Because I want to encounter the fullness of your power. I want to encounter the fullness of your grace. Destroy the presence of doubt, fear, unbelief in my life, in my heart, in my soul. Now, in the name of Jesus, begin to pray like that. Lord, destroy the roots, the strongholds of fear in me. Destroy strongholds of doubt, strongholds of unbelief in my soul, in my heart. Lord, destroy them now. Destroy them now. Destroy them now. Destroy them now. In the name of Jesus, I want to experience the fullness of your grace. I want to experience the fullness of your presence. I want to experience the fullness of your power. Destroy presence of fear, doubt, unbelief in my life. Now, in the name of Jesus, destroy them. Destroy them. Destroy them. Thank you, Lord. I don't want to be limited in experiencing your power and greatness. Destroy every presence of doubts, fear, unbelief in me. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Yeah, we have three more prayer points. Yeah, some few days ago, the Lord was showing me something. He made me realize that the Spirit of God is complete, or that the Spirit of God has in himself the fullness of all that we need. Yeah. So meaning that it made me realize that being in the Spirit is having the fullness of all that is in the Spirit. I mean, the fullness of all that is in the Holy Spirit. Being in the Holy Spirit, being in the Spirit, means that you have the fullness of all that is in the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you get what I'm trying to show you. Yeah, meaning that if healing is in the Holy Ghost, every time you are in the Holy Ghost, there's nothing that says you should not experience healing. If breakthrough is in the Holy Ghost, every time you are in the Holy Ghost, meaning that every time you are in the Spirit, you are not in the flesh. It means that you should have nothing. There's nothing that says you should not have breakthroughs at that time. Yeah, if wisdom is in the Holy Ghost, if power is in the Holy Ghost, if fire is in the Holy Ghost, if revelations, understanding is in the Holy Ghost, if complete deliverance is in the Holy Ghost, then there is nothing that says you should not have every time you are in the Holy Ghost. I don't know if you get what I'm trying to say. Yeah, so I was not asking him that why is it that some people are in the Spirit and then they can't access all this fullness that is in the Spirit. He said it's because of their lack of faith. Yeah, he said it's because of themselves, not because what they need is not in the Spirit. He said it is because of themselves, not because the Spirit is not capable or not able to give them access to those things. So I don't know what God has put in the Spirit for you to enjoy, but all this while you are in the Spirit and you can't lay hold of it. You're going to raise up your right hand. You're going to pray. You're going to say, in the name of Jesus, I break in pieces every limitation on me that is not allowing me to access the fullness of all that God has given to me in the Spirit. You're going to say, thank you, Lord. You're going to say, in the name of Jesus, I break in pieces every limitation on me that is not allowing me to access the fullness of all the benefits God has placed in the Spirit for me. I break those limitations now. In the name of Jesus, begin to pray like that. I break them in pieces. I break them in pieces. Every limitation on my mind, every limitation on my spirit, every limitation on my body, every limitation on my soul that is blocking me from laying hold of all the benefits, of all the blessings God has placed in the spirit realm for me. I break such limitations in pieces right now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.